From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Seattle City Council this week unanimously passed a so-called head tax on large corporations in the face of stiff opposition from Amazon. The tax, which was originally proposed as $500 per employee of corporations making more than $20 million a year, ended up at $275 per employee when the vote took place. Both sides claimed victory. Amazon's presence in Seattle has brought an influx of highly paid tech workers to the city, which has in turn fueled gentrification, rising rents, and increased homelessness. The tax revenues from the new measure will fund low-income housing and address homelessness. Well, how significant a victory is this for Seattle residents, and could the vote be replicated in cities where Amazon plans to expand? We turn to Seattle City Council member Kshama Sawant. She is the first socialist city council member to be elected in Seattle. Her party is the Socialist Alternative Party. Welcome to the program, Kshama.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So I know that this was a bitterly fought, hard-fought battle with many, many weeks of people protesting. And although this was a measure that was aimed at large corporations in general, it was dubbed the Tax Amazon Initiative. Can you give us a sense of what went into the groundwork end up passing this vote, all of the work that and the build-up to the vote that took place earlier this week?
Thank you for asking me about this. As a matter of fact, this has been a historic victory that we won this week, especially in the context of what has happened in the last two, three decades, but especially in the decade since the Great Recession, you know, ended at least for the billionaire class. What we've seen is an ever-expanding inequality, historic levels of poverty and homelessness in this, the richest country in the history of humanity. And this tax, a proposal to raise revenues by taxing the biggest businesses in our city to be able to fund publicly owned, permanently affordable housing, this is a historic reversal, at least the beginning of a reversal of this trend of inequality. And I think this is really relevant to every city in the United States, because the conversation in Seattle started with the rising rents. Rents have skyrocketed 65% in the last decade, and the city is basically become unaffordable to all the workers. And we're talking about grocery store workers, childcare workers, educators, all the employees of the public school system, all the people who go to work every single day in our city and make the city run. In other words, the backbone of our society, of Seattle society, is now finding housing unaffordable. And so that's where it started. It's really a question not just about housing, but the question is, who gets to occupy urban spaces in America anymore? It's really a question about the soul of our cities itself. And Seattle is far from the only city that is facing this question of who gets to live in our cities. And that's where it all started. And as you said, it was a bitterly fought for victory, because we went up against not only the opposition of the political establishment, the Democratic Party establishment, but we went against the absolutely ferocious opposition of the Chamber of Commerce, of big businesses like Starbucks and so on, but especially of Amazon. And the reason it became a tax Amazon struggle, and it wasn't coincidental, our movement, Socialist Alternative, Democratic Socialists of America, we deliberately branded this an Amazon tax because Amazon is one of the largest corporations in the world. It is the largest corporation in Seattle, and it has been it's a metaphor for everything that happens under capitalism, which is that growth or development is offered under capitalism. Growth or development is offered only on a single basis, which is that the billionaire class, like Jeff Bezos, get to enrich themselves hand over fist, while every square inch of this city gets privatized and becomes more and more expensive. And that was really it sort of captured the entire struggle itself.
Now, the initial vote was the initial proposal was for $500 per employee. Do you feel that it went down to $275 because of Amazon's opposition? And, you know, did that reduction in tax, was that a victory for Amazon?
So if you look at, just stepping back, if you look at what's actually needed in Seattle and in the surrounding cities, in King County, where Seattle is the biggest city, a recent study that just came out actually a few days ago, ironically sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, which has bitterly opposed every progressive measure in the city. It's not just this tax. They were also completely in opposition to the historic $15 an hour minimum wage, which we won nearly exactly 4 years ago. But this study revealed that King County and Seattle, as part of it, urgently needs an investment of $410 million per year in order to, in turn, urgently build 14,000, at least 14,000 affordable housing units. And it really found a very tight statistical correlation between rising rents and rising homelessness. And this has been found in study after study nationwide, that it is not coincidental that homelessness is exploding. It's not because any individual people did something wrong in their lives, made bad financial decisions. No, it is clearly tied to rising rents and the inability to be able to afford to live and have shelter, even though you may have a full-time job, because it's a combination of rising rents and low wage jobs being proliferated in our cities. And so while in reality, that's what we need to raise, you know, $400-500 million per year, our movement demanded $150 million a year by taxing 3% of the largest businesses, as you said. That then got watered down to 75 million. And then what eventually got passed is close to $50 million total revenues to be raised from taxing big businesses. So the question, it's a very important question you're asking, Sonali, you know, who got a victory out of this? Is this a victory for the movement? I think that the answer to that question really captures the entire trajectory of our struggle and has rich lessons for social movements, not just in Seattle, but everywhere. It really showed the whole progress of our movement, the whole momentum that we were able to raise from all the way from last year. It wasn't just a few weeks. It was starting with the People's Budget Movement that we organized in the fall of last year. And then it culminated in this, what I would call actually a historic victory, even though we didn't win everything, because the entire momentum shows, one, that you're not going to win social gains for ordinary people, people who are marginalized in our society. And as I said, the entire backbone of our society, unless you recognize, unless the movement recognizes who's on our side and who's not, big business is not on our side. The political establishment of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party are not on our side, because primarily they serve corporate interests. And so if we want to win anything at all, we have to, just like we did in the fight for $15 an hour, just like we have done for tenants' rights all the way from Vancouver, BC to Los Angeles, we have to build our own independent movements in the grassroots by really galvanizing and organizing renters, workers, young people in universities, you know, just everybody who is completely shut out of the political discussion. We have to organize on ourselves by on our own strength, and recognize that whatever we do win and what we don't win, both of those will be variables that will be determined by the balance of forces. You know, you're going up against not just Democratic politicians, you're going up against Amazon. And in this case, we went up against Amazon, which is one of the most powerful corporations in the world. It's a behemoth. And we went up against the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. And on the other hand, here is our movement. So ultimately, what we win or what we don't win is determined by the balance of forces between these two sides, and understanding that our interests, the interests of our movement and the interests of the billionaire class, they are not in line, and they're never going to be in line. And they are, you know, there's a fundamental antagonism between the two, and that if we want to win something, then we have to go against it. And so we didn't win everything because, you know, the movement needs, movements need to be stronger. But the fact that we were able to have the nerve to go up against Amazon and win a tax in the face of their extortionary threats, that represents that you can build a movement and you can win.
Right. And it speaks to this very lopsided dynamic between corporate America and ordinary citizens, because Amazon was able to threaten Seattle, the entire city, that if you tax us, we will leave. We will even walk away from our half-constructed building, and we will cut the jobs that we are, you know, offering in this city. And so, of course, it fueled a little bit of fear among Seattle, some Seattle residents. I know people worried about losing jobs. But in the wake of this vote, has Amazon made good on any of those threats?
They haven't yet moved jobs anywhere. Their initial reaction to the tax being passed, of course, was a completely shameless one, saying that they are really concerned about the hostility from the Seattle City Council. Might I just put this in perspective using some numbers? You know, Amazon is not a struggling corporation by any stretch of the imagination. So, as I said, just to give you a number, in the first quarter of this year alone, just in the first 3 months of this year, Amazon made a profit, not revenues, but profits of $1.6 billion. That money is equivalent to more than 80 years worth of the tax that they are liable for under this measure. So their threats, you know, their threat to take away 7,000 construction jobs, to stop construction, maybe move their location from Seattle, these threats are not based on financial compulsion. That's the first thing we need to understand. And I hope everybody who's watching this, you know, puts these numbers in perspective and gets that Amazon has no need to shut these jobs down. They can easily pay this tax. This tax is like pocket change for the Amazon billionaires, and especially for Jeff Bezos, and they can keep these jobs open. So why would they threaten these jobs? You know, the reason they're issuing this threat, it is because it's extortion. It's extortion, and it's a message. It's a threatening message, not just to Seattle, but every city in the world, actually, because Amazon is such a behemoth. It has a worldwide global footprint, economic footprint. So the message they are sending, the message Jeff Bezos is sending, is that if working people in any city have the temerity to go against me and the billionaire class, then we will threaten you with taking away jobs. And what does it mean for the billionaire class to threaten us with jobs being taken away? That, in other words, is a strike or an attempted strike of capital. And so, right. First of all, I completely understand our construction sisters and brothers being anxious about their jobs. You know, I'm a rank and file member of the labor movement, of the teachers union myself, and I completely stand in solidarity with them. And the reality is that we should, you know, our enemies are not one worker class against, you know, one group of workers against other workers. It's really an attempted divide and conquer strategy by the capitalist class in order to say, well, you know, if you attempt to have even a small measure of justice, then we're going to go against you. So we don't take those threats lightly, and we shouldn't take those threats lightly, because Amazon has the power to move jobs. But at the same time, the response to such threats, a response to the strike of capital, is not to succumb to it, to bend down and back down. Really, the only response is for every city, for working people in every city, to say, we are not going to accept your threats, because the logic, the inevitable logic of your threats, is a race to the bottom in every city. If Seattle was to back down, then other cities would have been forced to back down, because that would have been the trend that we would have set.
Right, it sets a precedent.
Yeah, it's a precedent. We are, like, just like in the $15 minimum wage victory, we are trying to flip the race to the bottom logic on its head, and we're saying, we're not going to accept it on your terms. We want working people to build movements everywhere.
Now, it's really important for us to also remind ourselves that corporations like Amazon take advantage of existing infrastructure, taxpayer-funded infrastructure. You know, they get to move into cities, use the public roads. Its workers get to use all of that. And in turn, Amazon actually does not pay taxes. Amazon listed in its annual report filed to the SEC this February, Amazon estimated that it would not be paying anything in federal income taxes for 2017. Instead, it was getting a $137 million tax refund from the government. And there's complicated reasons for that, but they involve stock-based compensation and other things. So this is a corporation that's rapidly expanding, that doesn't currently pay anything in taxes, and balked at paying $275 per employee in Seattle, so about $50 million a year to the city of Seattle. That's pretty remarkable and suggests a kind of hubris that we haven't seen before.
Completely. And just to clarify, the $50 million, the figure that you just mentioned, Sonali, that's the total tax raised from 600 largest corporations. Amazon is just one of them. So Amazon's share is like maybe 8 million or so under this new tax. It's like pocket change, or even lint in Jeff Bezos's pocket.
I mean, he could lose that much money and not notice personally himself.
And he could not notice. Yes, exactly. And in fact, 2 days before they issued this threat against the city of Seattle, Jeff Bezos was on German media saying, you know, I have so much money, I don't know what to do with it. Maybe I'll shoot it off into outer space.
Oh,
I mean, I'm
paraphrasing.
That's not exactly what he said. He talked about, doing space travel. But, you know, we were here thinking, you know, we can think of a few uses for that kind of wealth. And that is why this struggle, in our view, is not just about this tax, but it raises fundamental questions about the basis for the capitalist system itself. You know, this is, if you accept the billionaire class's logic, then this is what happens. And in terms of public services, a point that I found really striking and really made me angry was, I was just reading the news about Toronto. Toronto is in Canada, obviously, and it's I think the only non-American city that has been shortlisted by Amazon for its HQ2. And the Amazon executives had the nerve to say, we're really interested in Toronto because we want to take advantage of the publicly funded healthcare and public education. Exactly to your point, you know, they will parasitically use taxpayer funded, public funded services in order to enrich the top 0.01%.
But of course, this is corporations will get away with whatever they can get away with. It's critical for governments from local to federal to stand up to these corporations and say, you know, sorry, there's, you know, if you want to keep operating here, you have to be a good corporate citizen. So the precedent that Seattle has now set, how could that model be replicated in other cities where Amazon plans to open up its headquarters? It's of course important for there to be a united front, right? Because corporations like to go where they see an opening.
Absolutely. You are so correct about this, Sonali, that under the capitalist system, corporations will move jobs because they can move jobs. I mean, one of the really instructive examples is from right here in Washington State with the Boeing Corporation. You know, decade after decade, Boeing Corporation, and I don't mean the Boeing workers or the engineers, I mean the Boeing executives, the venture capitalists, and the owners of the Boeing Corporation, decade after decade, have extracted corporate tax cut after corporate tax cut from the Washington state legislature, you know, including headed by Democrats, in the name of jobs. In other words, for example, in November 2013, the same year that I was first elected, Boeing got a nearly $9 billion corporate tax handout from the state legislature, headed by a Democratic governor, headed by a Democratic state house. And the reason they got that tax handout was, again, extortion, because they said, well, if you don't give us this tax handout, we're going to be forced to move jobs elsewhere. And do you know what happened? They moved the jobs anyway, because as long as there's another city, another country, another continent where workers are poorer and more desperate than workers in our city who would be willing to take jobs at lower wages and at worse off labor conditions, those jobs are going to move anyway. So I think the paramount point that comes out of all of this, these struggles, is that, as you said, worker struggles have to be linked not only across cities, but across states and across countries. And internationally, we have to recognize that working people have interests that are interlinked with one another. And the only way to win better living conditions in your own city is for our struggles to be linked with other cities as well. And so I have no question in my mind that movements in other cities can win a similar tax. And it does not have to be a same mechanism, The whole point, the fundamental point here, is that you can tax big business with whatever legal avenues you have in your city, but you can tax big business and you can win. But the way to do it is by building an independent grassroots movement. That is the key thing here. If there's one takeaway I can share from our struggle in Seattle, it is that you're not going to win victories for working people if you put your faith in politicians, if you put your faith in businesses who say, well, we want to come to the table and, you know, we want to talk with you. No, this is not a question of talking nicely with billionaires, because if that were true, we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. Right. We have to fight for it, and we should not only not be shy or ashamed of building a fighting movement. It's a badge of honor to go up against the might, the Goliath-like might of big business, because we're fighting the just fight. We are fighting for working people, the vast majority of whom have been left out of this so-called prosperity of this richest country in the world.
Well, Kshama, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the ongoing struggle, and thanks for spending this time with us.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Kshama Sawant. She is a member of the Seattle City Council. She's also the first socialist council member to be elected with the Socialist Alternative Party. We've been discussing the new tax in Seattle aimed at Amazon and other big corporations. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.